The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. We'll read verses 11 through 16. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When the hired hand sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. That's because he isn't the shepherd. The sheep really aren't his. So the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. He's only a hired hand, and the sheep don't matter to him. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I give up my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that don't belong to this sheep pen. I must lead them too. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Oftentimes, the focus of the Easter season, this period of time, this window of time between the resurrection and Pentecost, directs our attention toward the apparitions of the risen Lord to his disciples. He comes to them through closed doors, bidding them peace. He walks with them along the long roads back home, staying just long enough to break bread with them, opening their eyes to his presence. He offers them tips for finding a large catch of fish after long hours and frustration of unproductive efforts. He welcomes them with fish roasting over a warm fire. He commissions them, sending them as the Father has sent him. He breathes on them, filling them with the Holy Spirit, giving them life anew. It is clear from these post-resurrection apparitions of Christ that for the disciples, the story of Easter would not end with the resurrection. These gospel narratives of the risen Lord going to his disciples guide us toward encounters of our own. For instance, by watching their encounters, we're given hope and assurance that Easter story does continue. From peering into their stories and asking what the apparitions say about the risen Christ and what they say about the disciples, we might more clearly identify places in which the living Lord comes to us, bidding us peace, offering us sustenance, and opening our eyes to how and where Christ may be seeking to disclose his presence to us. We can discover how the Easter story does go on and how we can become part of the story. If the Easter story is a story that doesn't end, if the Easter story is our story, where might we encounter the risen Lord? How might we recognize the living Christ who comes to stand beside us? The disciples counted on what they knew about Jesus in coming to recognize him after the resurrection. Mary had mistaken her Lord for the gardener until she heard that familiar voice of her master call her by name. The hearts of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus burned within them as Jesus spoke with them. And then their eyes were opened when they might have recognized the familiar way in which Jesus broke the bread and handed it to them. What do we know about Jesus that may open our eyes to his abiding presence with us? What characterizes Jesus in a way that might cause us to recognize him as he continues to come to us in the course of our daily lives? If we are to have our eyes open and live into our continuing story of Easter, let's begin with what we already know about Jesus and ourselves. In today's lectionary reading, in the fourth Sunday of Easter, the Gospel of John takes us back in time before the resurrection, before the crucifixion, before as Jesus was walking with his disciples and teaching them. It takes us to one of Jesus' I am statements. Throughout the Gospel of John, we are given seven such statements in which Jesus reveals who he is in relation to God and in relation to the provisions that he offers those to whom he has come. Jesus says in these I am statements, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. And in today's reading, I am the good shepherd. If we're going to recognize the risen Christ, we might want to start by remembering who Jesus said he was and looking for him to disclose himself in the same familiar way to us here and now. I mean, how can we as an Easter people read or hear the scripture about the Good Shepherd and how the Good Shepherd will give up his life for his sheep and not make the connection to how Jesus would and did do exactly that? Immediately, there is a sense of recognition of how Jesus will come to us and how Jesus will be made known to us. Jesus will continue to be the Good Shepherd in our own Easter story. The statement of Jesus about being the Good Shepherd had another familiar ring to his original hearers, and probably for us as well. Without the hindsight of Jesus having laid down his life for them, his first hearers would probably have recognized the likeness of what he had to say about being the Good Shepherd with Psalm 23. For John's part in penning his gospel, he is attempting to demonstrate the identity of Jesus, as he says, who was from the beginning with God and who was God. There would have been no room for confusion, as the provisions of Christ as the Good Shepherd were perfectly in sync with the image of the God of Psalm 23. The words of the beloved 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," are a stalwart of the Psalms. Through the beauty of these words, believers throughout the ages have experienced God in times of difficult uncertainty and distress. It is to this psalm that so many have turned to encounter the God they most need in the darkest moments of their lives. This is who we want and need God to be when we are vulnerable, when we are frightened and hurting. For anyone who has ever read or heard the familiar comforting words of the 23rd Psalm in a time of pain and struggle, and who among us is not, we recognize this voice as the voice of the Good Shepherd, and we know the presence of the risen Lord is standing beside us. Verse by verse, the psalmist proclaims our shared experience of God. The Lord, who is our shepherd, provides for the sheep, feeding the flock in green pastures of plenty. The flock is safely led and guided by the shepherd beside deep waters of danger. The shepherd restores our souls, walking with us in the darkest valleys, comforting us, fixing our hair, and taking us to dinner. Well, anointing our heads with oil and preparing a table for us. Jesus expounds further on the role of the Good Shepherd later in this chapter in John's Gospel, pointing to the personal connection the shepherd has to the flock. The Good Shepherd knows the flock, and the flock knows the shepherd's voice. The commitment of the Good Shepherd knows no bounds, and he is willing to lay down his life for his flock, even for those not of this particular fold. Peter Woods says that it was the part of Jesus that was the Good Shepherd that explains why, after the resurrection, that he continued to appear and remain with his disciples. If Jesus wasn't the Good Shepherd, he wouldn't have hung around to comfort, to reconcile, or to commission a community of failures who had denied and forsaken him. He would have headed straight for heaven. It's kind of like a shepherd who won't go home to rest until he knows all of his flock has entered into their rest. A shepherd who, even when he is dead tired or just plain dead, gets up and continues seeking and calling the sheep. until all of the sheep are home. Beginning with what we know of Jesus and who we can expect Him to be, the Good Shepherd helps recognize the risen Christ whenever and wherever He comes to stand beside us. It also helps us to know and acknowledge who we are, if Easter is going to be a story that continues, if Easter is going to be our story. Jesus says He knows His sheep. He knows we need a shepherd, not just any shepherd, the good one. In Greek, the literal translation of this verse is, "I am the shepherd, the good one." Jesus knows that we are prone to wander down paths ridden with dangers, waters deep, and valleys dark. Jesus knows we will need the guidance of the good shepherd finding proper paths. We will need the protective reach of the good shepherd's rod and staff. Craig Barnes quotes the late psychologist Rollo May, who has written, "Humans are the strangest of all God's creatures because they run fastest when they have lost their way." Barnes says, "This is how we get into real trouble, by running when we're lost. It is then that we make the worst mistakes with relationships, family, and work. The same can be said of churches, schools, and governments. Not convinced that the Lord is leading us to green pastures, we veer off course, try a shortcut, or run like terrified sheep." Jesus knows us. Jesus knows we need a shepherd, the good one. The good news of the gospel is that no matter where we are or where we're desperately and blindly running, the goodness and mercy of the good shepherd are always in hot pursuit, chasing after us. When we find ourselves beside those still waters, alone in those dark valleys, wanting to run anywhere but here, if we but listen, we will hear and know the good shepherd's voice. We will know that the risen Lord has come to us and stands beside us. We will know that the Easter story continues and that we are part of it. Then we can only sing with the psalmist, making the familiar words of Psalm 23, the good one, our own Easter hymn. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen.